More than 4 months after Sandy, some downtown residents and businesses are still waiting for their phone or internet service to be restored. The floodwaters severely damaged Verizon's copper wire phone lines. After the storm, it pledged to replace the network with better technology, fiber optic cable. But WNYC's Ilya Maritz reports the slow pace of transition is causing lots of frustration.
Beth Arulis is an attorney with the New York Civil Liberties Union, specializing in freedom of speech and freedom of religion cases. But lately, she's become the NYCLU's point person on Verizon.
And I'm just trying to find a bill.
And these bills are making her crazy.
And a remote call forwarding charge of $22.25 before you get to the per-call charges. And none of these charges make any sense.
On top of thousands of dollars in unexpected charges, 40 of the 50 phone lines at the NYCLU's Broad Street offices were kaput as a result of Sandy. For months, Arulis tried to switch the numbers to a different carrier. Finally, she succeeded last Friday, but it took some effort.
How much time a week are you devoting to this?
Probably between 5 and 6 hours.
So most of one workday?
Yeah, basically.
Early on, Arulis found customer service wasn't much help. So, being a professional gadfly, she found a phone number for Verizon's assistant general counsel and called him. They've been talking on and off for weeks.
It's been very collegial, as I say. He's made recommendations. He told me that everything that's happening to us is, in fact, contrary to the stated policy of Verizon.
Phone and internet outages are not publicly reported, but many businesses and individuals across Lower Manhattan are still without service. East Village resident Nicholas Burnham wrote to WNYC in an email, "I've spent countless hours calling Verizon till I'm nearly in tears." At a forum for downtown businesses, Verizon Executive Director Chris Levendos acknowledged the complaints.
So we have been listening and adjusting, and we'll continue to work to communicate as we move forward as quickly as possible, especially in those particular areas where we've heard the most feedback.
Remember, Levendos says, Sandy damaged 95% of downtown copper lines. But there may be another reason so many Verizon customers are at their wits' end. They literally do not count. Here's why. In 2010, regulators with New York's Public Service Commission acknowledged big changes in the way people communicate. They were dropping old landlines and getting cell phones or phone via cable. The commission saw this competition as a good thing. It concluded that landline phones no longer needed strict oversight. For many years, the commission had held Verizon to performance standards for 100% of its residential customers. But today, it only tracks service for the most vulnerable, like blind people and rural subscribers. That's only about 8% of all customers.
Because 92% of customers are cut out of any sort of monitoring, there's less day-to-day maintenance, less manpower to take care of the system.
Peter Sikora is an economist with the Communications Workers of America, which represents Verizon's union employees. PSC data show service quality for landlines has in fact declined since oversight was weakened. Sikora sees a direct connection to today's extended phone outages.
So if the PSC enables Verizon to shirk on its day-to-day maintenance, when there is a disaster, that day-to-day maintenance problem becomes an even bigger disaster-level problem.
Verizon customers are muddling through in different ways. Some have canceled their service and switched carriers, though making the switch isn't as easy as choosing Pepsi over Coke. Verizon says outages are less likely with the fiber optic network it's now building. Verizon's Chris Levendos calls it the single largest telecommunication investment in United States history.
It's a terrible incident that our customers have gone through, but the silver lining is what we're left with from a telecommunication perspective is better than what we had before, by leaps and bounds.
People who study telecommunications say it's a turning point for another reason as well. Throughout the 20th century, phone lines were regulated as an essential public service. Susan Crawford, a professor at Benjamin Cardozo School of Law, says the same protections don't come with Verizon's fiber lines.
It can choose which customers to serve. It can decide what to charge them. It can make sure that competitors don't serve buildings, particularly in the business district, and it won't be subject to any price regulation or emergency services reporting. All of that goes out the window when Verizon replaces copper with fiber.
Verizon says it will finish that job in the months ahead. For WNYC, I'm Ilya Maritz.